Today is the 9th day of December. Welcome. Welcome back around the Global Campfire. I am Brian. It is great to be here with you today. It is a privilege, and I am grateful to be here with you today as we continue to navigate our way. It's like we've been on this voyage, right? Like we set sail on the 1st of January. And it takes like a week to get kind of moved in into the rhythm, and maybe even a month to kind of just get our bearings. And all of a sudden, the Bible is like so dynamic as it begins. So much to think about that before you know it, we look back out, back toward shore, back toward where we launched from, and we can't see land anymore. And we're out in the deep. And we spend all these months sailing through this year out in the deep. And we get here now, and off in the distance, there's this faint outline of land. Like, we're coming in. We're not there. It's like a long ways off still, but we can see it. It's not like we're out in the open sea anymore. We can see the end of the year. We can see it coming. And that's kind of where we are. And I mean, the way that this works is that it never ends. So we will dock, right? And some people will like jump off ship. Other people will like, we need to jump off and do laundry and get back on and get back into our rooms and get settled in for the new year, for a new voyage in a new season, across new oceans. But we're here now, 9th day of December. That leaves us, you know, what, 3 weeks-ish? So that little faint outline of the end of the year of the land, it'll get bigger and bigger and bigger as we get closer and closer and closer. But I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be here today. Grateful to be here today. As we take the next step forward toward that beautiful ending. And we are moving fast. We are in the Minor Prophets now in the Old Testament, so they do move kind of quickly. And we have come to a new book. And we're going to read the whole thing today. The book of Joel. And nobody really knows with certainty who Joel was. There are other people in the Bible with that name. Very few, if any, scholars believe that any of those people are the author of this prophetic book. Joel does share similar language styles with some of the other prophets, like Ezekiel or Jeremiah, Amos or Micah or Zephaniah. Some scholars argue that Joel then may be the work of more than one prophet or one of these other prophets. Others would consider the similarities in prophetic tone to be simply like a byproduct of the culture and the tradition and kind of like being around other prophets. Joel doesn't give a whole lot of clues, doesn't give a whole lot of historical identifiers, and so that makes dating this book really difficult. And so there's like different conclusions over the centuries that have passed. So like, let's just be broad here. In general terms, Joel has been dated somewhere around 500 to 800 BCE. But scholars have long held that dating this book is not necessary for it to have impact or to retain its impact. Joel prophetically sees this vast horde of locusts that invaded the land and obliterated all vegetation, including all the crops. And then that brought on a great ensuing famine. And Joel used this natural disaster as a backdrop to call the children of Israel to repentance. And so typically that's considered like the locust invasion is considered to be an actual event, not so much an allegory or a symbol. but the prophetic understanding or the backdrop that Joel used of this event to speak an apocalyptic prophetic message is prophecy. And so, as is the case with much of the Bible, Joel's words were intended to bring us to a fork in the road. A choice has to be made. There's a path of repentance that will lead to blessing and restoration. There is a path of rebellion that would lead to what Joel calls the great and terrible day of the Lord. Yeah, I don't want anything to do with that. Although the judgment that's described in Joel is the great day of the Lord, like is certainly going to be great. This path, this other path of repentance, would lead to even greater restoration. And some of the most identifiable, even beautiful passages of restoration are found in the book of Joel. Things that we can recognize. Joel says, "I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions," which is a very recognizable and famous passage. So let's embrace it. We're going to read the whole thing today and consider the paths that are presented. Because, and now being allegorical or symbolic, no matter what the locusts have eaten in our lives, no matter what horde has swept in and left us bare, there is a path. Man, I'm telling that to myself too. There is a path to redemption and restoration. And so with that, we read the book of Joel, chapters 1 through 3. The word of the Lord that came to Joel, son of Pethuel. "Hear this, you elders. Listen, all of you who live in the land. Has anything like this ever happened in your days or in the days of your fathers? Tell it to your children, and let your children tell it to their children and their children to the next generation. But the grasshoppers have left, the swarming locusts have eaten. What the swarming locusts have left, the young locusts have eaten. What the young locusts have left, the mature locusts have eaten. Wake up, you drunkards, and weep. Wail, all you wine drinkers, because of the sweet wine that has been snatched from your mouth. A nation has come up into my land, powerful and without number. It has teeth like a lion and fangs like a lioness. It has devastated my vines and shredded my fig trees. It has completely stripped off their bark and thrown it aside so that their branches are bare and white. Grieve like a virgin dressed in sackcloth who grieves for the husband of her youth. Grain offerings and drink offerings are cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests are in mourning, those who minister in the presence of the Lord. The fields are devastated. The soil mourns. The grain is devastated. The new wine has run dry. The olive oil runs out. Hang your heads, you farmers. Wail, you vine growers, for the wheat and for the barley, because the grain harvest has died in the field. The vine has dried up, and the fig tree has withered. The pomegranate, the date palm, and the apple tree. All the trees in the countryside have dried up. And joy has dried up for all the people. Put on sackcloth, you priests, and lament. Wail, you who minister in front of the altar. Come, spend the night in sackcloth, you who minister before my God, because the grain offerings and drink offerings are being held back from the house of your God. Set aside a day of fasting. Call a solemn convocation. Summon the elders and everyone who lives in the land to come to the house of the Lord your God. Cry out to the Lord. How terrible that day will be. Yes, the day of the Lord is near. It will come like destruction from the Almighty. Hasn't the food been cut off right before our eyes? Happiness and celebration are cut off from the house of our God. The planted seed is dried up under the clods of earth. The storehouses are in ruins. The granaries have been broken down because the grain is dried up. Listen to how the cattle bellow. The herds of cattle are milling around in confusion because they have no pasture. Even the flocks of sheep are suffering punishment. To you, O Lord, I call, because fire has consumed the grazing lands in the wilderness, and flames have burned up all the trees in the countryside. Even the animals in the countryside pant for you. The streams of water have dried up, and fire has consumed the grazing lands in the wilderness. Blow the ram's horn in Zion. Sound the alarm on my holy mountain. Let all who live in the land tremble with fear, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is close at hand. A day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and frightening darkness. Like dawn spreading across the mountains, a large and mighty people is coming. There has been nothing like it from ancient times, nor will there ever be again for generations to come. In front of them, fire devours. Behind them, a flame blazes. In front of them, the land is like the Garden of Eden. Behind them, it is a desolate wilderness. There is no escaping them. They look like horses. They charge like cavalry. With a noise like chariots, they bounce over the mountaintops like a crackling fire consuming stubble, like a powerful army lined up for battle. At the sight of them, peoples are in anguish. Every face becomes flushed. They charge like strong warriors. They climb over walls like soldiers. They all march in formation. They do not turn aside from their path. They do not collide with each other. Each marches straight ahead in his position. They pierce through defenses without hesitating. They rush into the city. They run along the city wall. They climb into the houses. Like thieves, they enter through the windows. In front of them, the earth quakes. The sky shudders, the sun and moon become dark, and the stars stop shining. The Lord shouts at the head of his army. His forces are very numerous, and those who obey his command are powerful. The day of the Lord is great. It is terrifying. Who can endure it? Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your hearts, with fasting and weeping and grief. Tear your heart and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in mercy, and he relents from sending disaster. Who knows? He may turn and have pity and leave behind a blessing, grain offerings and drink offerings for the Lord your God. Blow the ram's horn in Zion. Set aside a day for fasting. Call a solemn convocation. Gather the people. Consecrate the assembly. Bring together the elders. Gather the children, even those nursing at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Let the priests who minister before the Lord weep between the temple porch and the altar. Let them say, have compassion on your people, O Lord. Do not subject the inheritance you have given us to the scorn of the nations. Do not make us notorious among the nations as an object of ridicule. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? The Lord is zealous for his land, and he will take pity on his people. The Lord will respond to them. I am sending you grain, new wine, and fresh oil, enough to satisfy you fully. Never again will I subject you to scorn among the nations. I will drive the northern invaders far from you, pushing them into a parched and desolate land. Their vanguard will be driven into the eastern sea and their rear guard into the western sea. Then their stench will go up, their foul smell will go up. Yes, the Lord has done great things. Do not be afraid, O earth. Celebrate and be glad. Yes, the Lord has done great things. Do not be afraid, you animals out in the field, because the grazing lands are becoming green. The trees are bearing their fruits. The fig tree and the vine yield their riches. Celebrate, you people of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, because he has given you the autumn rains in righteousness. He sends you abundant showers, both autumn and spring rains, as he did in the beginning. The threshing floors will be filled with grain. The vats will overflow with new wine and olive oil. I will repay you for the years eaten by the swarming locusts, by the young locusts, the mature locusts, and the grasshoppers, my great army that I sent among you. You will have plenty to eat. You will eat until you are full, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God, who has worked wonders for you. Never again will my people be put to shame. Then you will know that I am in the midst of Israel, that I am the Lord your God, and that there is no other. Never again will my people be put to shame. After this, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on the servants, both male and female, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show warning signs in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and terrifying day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord has promised among the survivors whom the Lord calls. Look, in those days and at that time, when I restore the fortunes of Judah and Jerusalem, I will gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. There I will enter into judgment against them for the sake of my possession, my people Israel, whom they scattered among the nations. The nations also divided up my land. They cast lots for my people and traded boys to pay prostitutes. They sold girls for wine so that they could drink. Tell me, what do you have against me, Tyre and Sidon, and all you regions of Philistia? Are you repaying me for something I have done? If you are paying me back, I will swiftly and speedily repay unto your own heads what you have done, because you took my silver and my gold, and you carried off my best treasures to your temples. You sold the people of Judah and Jerusalem to the Greeks in order to send them far from their own borders. See, I am going to rouse them out of the places to which you sold them, and I will make what you have done return on your own heads. I will sell your sons and daughters into the hands of the people of Judah, and they will sell them to the Sabaeans, a nation far away. Yes, the Lord has spoken. Proclaim this among the nations. Consecrate yourselves for war. Rouse the strong warriors. Let all the fighting men draw near and attack. beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning knives into spears. Let the weakling say, I am a strong warrior. Come quickly to help all you nations from every side and assemble there. Bring down your strong warriors, O Lord. Let the nations be roused. Let them advance into the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there I will be seated to judge all the nations. Swing the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, trample the grapes, for the winepress is full and the vats overflow, because the nation's wickedness is so great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and moon will be darkened, and the stars will stop shining. The Lord will roar from Zion and shout from Jerusalem. The sky and the earth will tremble, but the Lord will be a refuge for his people, a stronghold for the people of Israel. Then you will know that I, the Lord your God, dwell in Zion, my holy mountain. Jerusalem will be holy. Foreigners will not pass through her again. In that day, the mountains will drip sweet wine, and the hills will flow with milk. All the stream beds of Judah will run with water. A fountain will flow out of the Lord's house. It will water the valley of acacias. Egypt will be desolate. Edom will be a desolate wilderness, because of violence they committed against the people of Judah, in whose land they shed innocent blood. Judah will be inhabited forever, and Jerusalem through all generations. I will pardon their blood guilt, which I have not pardoned. The Lord dwells in Zion. Okay, so we talked about Joel because we just read it, beginning to end. So we completed a book today. Now we're at the New Testament, and we've actually come to the final book of the Bible, the final book of the New Testament. So obviously this is the last book. This will take us through to the end of the year. And this is a book called Revelation. And Revelation has captured the fascination of readers really in ways that no other book in the Bible has. And it has been interpreted in so many different ways, greater than any of the other books of the Bible have. And has been looked at through many different facets and lenses over the 2,000 years that it has existed. Some of them, well, I mean, you're probably familiar enough with Revelation to know that this is apocalyptic, so it's dealing with the end times. So some of these interpretations are fantastic, and some of them are pragmatic. So Revelation identifies its own author as John. And that's like just John, so which John is not clearly specified. Like long-running tradition that is pretty well undisputed is that this is the Apostle John who wrote the Gospel of John, as well as 1st and 2nd and 3rd John. There have been questions about that, at least since the 3rd century. That gets debated until today. Based on the evidence, though, most hold the tradition that the Apostle John was probably the author. And I mean, if this is the case, then the Apostle John was banished to the island of Patmos. This is, like, right now, a Greek island. And man, Jill and I, we were literally spent the night on Patmos just a very short time ago, like a month and a half ago. And it's a small island where the book of Revelation was written, and the tradition runs deep there. Like, the association with the Apostle John runs deep there. Lots of reasons for this. The Apostle John ended up in Ephesus, and Patmos is just off the coast from Ephesus. So Patmos is in Greece right now, and Ephesus is in modern-day Turkey. But at one point, like, these were all, this is the Roman Empire. And Patmos was an island of exile. Pretty interesting. Like, I had always been taught throughout my life that this was like, it was like Alcatraz. It was like an island prison. People would just be dropped off there that were, you know, being punished. It was more of an island of exile. It was not a new invention, but an understanding of the leaders of the Roman Empire. They kept, like, killing people, political adversaries, people who spoke against the emperor, or people who were being persecuted or marginalized for religious reasons. And they had discovered that, like a public execution of somebody that was a revolutionary or a leader, that would make them a martyr, and that could actually backfire. So sure, they would kill this leader or this person, take this person out, make this person punished, and that would be a detriment to a lot of people, but those who had been radicalized in some sort of way, it would just make that person a martyr, which would make more problems down the line. So they decided exile maybe was a better option in some of these cases where killing a person was going to actually really cause further problems. And so they would just take this person completely out of circulation. They just capture this person and put them on an island of exile where nobody could get to them, and their voice was silenced effectively without this kind of public bloody execution. So John was in Ephesus, and he was like a bishop. He was over a number of churches in the area. Obviously, he's the apostle of Jesus Christ, so he carries a significant amount of influence. And at some point, it's decided not to just like kill him and make him a martyr, but to put him in exile. And so he is put on Patmos for a season. And this is where the revelation takes place. And there is a cave until this day, the Cave of Revelation. That the long tradition is that this is where, on this island, that John was staying in this cave for shelter. And Jesus came to him like in a vision. And I rocked his world completely. There's all kinds of traditions about the cave splitting, like there are some cracks in that cave, and you know, this sound of mighty waters, a God comes to him, and so he receives this revelation. And the way that this begins is Jesus writing basically notes, small, short letters. So like we've been reading letters for a long time. There's seven short letters to seven different churches, as the book of Revelations starts. And these churches are all in a circuit. Like, I mean, they're spread out a ways, but they're all in a big circle from Ephesus, where John was. These are the seven churches of Revelation. Ironically, like, they're all of the cities where the seven churches were the ancient postal route in the Roman Empire. It's this big circle. And it is believed John was the bishop over these churches, so they all knew him, like, really, really well. So he, being an actual disciple of Jesus, having a vision where Jesus comes back to him, and he writes these letters to these seven churches in the name of Jesus. This is, like, super significant. And each of these little letters is very, very specific to each of these churches. However, all of the issues that are being dealt with in all of these churches, the things that are being called out, are very, very, very much alive and happening today. And we can absolutely find ourselves in these things. But Revelation is considered a work of a genre, apocalyptic literature. And that's one of the reasons why there's been so much intrigue and such vast and various interpretation around it. Because that genre of literature is incredibly symbolic, almost entirely symbolic. And so the reader, us, as we read it, like, you have to discern, and you should actually watch yourself as we go through this. Watch yourself as we're reading through it. What is it that you take literally, and what is it that you naturally understand is allegoric or symbolic? That's like actually kind of an important distinction in going through the Book of Revelation. I mean, the subject matter is the end of the world as we know it. So obviously, that carries some weight and a lot of speculation. There is a beginning of a new era for humanity prophesied. And so interpreting Revelation can lead and has led to widely diverse conclusions, as has been the case for thousands of years, bringing all kinds of predictions. I might add that all of them have been incorrect up until this point. So we have to be careful about this kind of stuff. A very, very, very generous amount of biblical scholars view this work from an entirely first century perspective to a very, very specific group of people going through very, very specific things. And so they conclude that the events in the Book of Revelation were true and did take place, and that all fits into history. Others see the book outlining a chain of events that began when it was written in the first century, and that will last until the end of the world. And then there are others that believe that the symbolism that is found in apocalyptic literature, and especially the Book of Revelation, it's timeless. It is symbolic for a reason. It is speaking of something that is beyond what we can comprehend. It's describing this cosmic spiritual struggle between good and evil. So any of these views can matter. Any of these views can be legitimate. Getting overly intrigued by these details and then attempting to make them fit any particular time, including our own, I mean, that is fine. That has only ever been done. It's possible that it will prove unfulfilling, because it has been customary to do that for every generation since this was written. And like I said, everybody has been incorrect up until now. But one thing is absolutely certain, and we'll see this so clearly. Endurance has been a theme in the letters. It is absolutely forefront in the Book of Revelation. It's almost as if we've been kind of following this theme of endurance all the way to get to Revelation, so that we can see that it has an absolutely irreplaceable role in the ultimate battle between darkness and light. Endurance is key. And so Revelation tells us that those who stay faithful, who endure, and stay faithful to the testimony of Jesus until the end, will be eternally victorious. John says they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. That's endurance. So we'll discover that endurance isn't like this thing where you dig a hole, hunker down, and just kind of wait it out. It's not a passive thing. It's not like you just kind of grin and bear it. It's an active thing. Remaining true when the entire world has turned against you is an active thing. It's a powerful statement against deception. And deception is how we began this story back in January. Deception is and has always been the greatest force set against mankind. Deception. a false reality, lies, and revelation will reveal this. And we're to remain true in the face of deception and be a witness to the truth and a light in the darkness until the very end. And that very end, according to the book of Revelation, is a new beginning. And so we begin. Revelation, chapter 1. The revelation from Jesus Christ that God gave him to show his servants the things that must soon take place. Christ expressed this revelation by means of symbols sent through his angel to his servant John. John spoke as a witness to the word of God and to the testimony about Jesus Christ, that is, to everything he saw. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and hold on to the things written in it, because the time is near. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, and who is coming, and from the seven spirits that are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his own blood, and made us a kingdom and priests to God his Father. To him be the glory and the power forever. Amen. Look, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, including those who pierced him. And all the nations of the earth will mourn because of him. Yes. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, the one who is, and who was, and who is coming, the Almighty. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingship and patient endurance in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony about Jesus. I was in spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard a loud voice behind me like a trumpet, saying, write what you see on a scroll and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. When I turned, I saw seven gold lampstands, and among the lampstands was one like a son of man. He was clothed with a robe that reached to his feet, and around his chest he wore a gold sash. His head and his hair were white, like white wool or like snow. His eyes were like blazing flames. His feet were like polished bronze being refined in a furnace. His voice was like the roar of many waters. He held seven stars in his right hand. A sharp two-edged sword was coming out of his mouth. His face was shining as the sun shines in all its brightness. When I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. He placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last, the living one. I was dead, and see, I am alive forever and ever. I also hold the keys of death and hell. So write what you have seen, both those things that are and those that will take place after this. The mystery of the seven stars, which you saw in my right hand, and the seven gold lampstands is this. The seven stars are the messengers of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. Psalm 128. A Blessed Family. The Song of the Ascents. How blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, everyone who is walking in His ways. Yes, you will eat the food you worked for. How blessed you are, it will go well for you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine in the inner rooms of your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Look, this is how blessed the man is who fears the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion so that you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life, and you see your children's children. Peace be on Israel. Proverbs 29:18. Without prophetic vision, a people is unrestrained, but a people which follows the law is blessed. Father, again, we thank you for your word, as we do every day. It is, in fact, why we are here. We thank you for the scriptures and what they do and what we can learn and how they can shape us if we will allow them. So we have moved through a lot of territory today. An entire book, the book of Joel, and then moving into the book of Revelation. And so, Holy Spirit, come. As we continue forward, we ask that you would lead us indeed into all truth. And we know that you would lead us nowhere else beside that. And so help us to see it. Help us to absorb it. Help what we need to hear be heard. What we need to see be seen. We ask in the name of Jesus with worship and adoration for your holy name. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app. These are home base. They are where to get connected and how to stay connected. Check out the community section. This is where to get connected on the social media platforms that we have channels on. And that is good as we're taking the journey together to follow along and get some behind the scenes encouragement. So check that out. It is Christmas time. That is what is going on around here. And not just around here, around the world. So as I have been saying here, the annual Christmas party is forthcoming and is truly one of the most remarkable, beautiful things we do as a community at holiday time. So make sure to call in your holiday greeting to the community that you have been journeying with, the family that has taken the journey across the year and through the Bible together with you. It is very easy to participate. We have prayer requests and encouragement lines that we use every single day. At Christmas time, we use those for the holiday greetings as well. So just hit the hotline button in the app or dial 877-942-4253. And call in your holiday greeting. If you have a prayer request as well, like, make those separate. Don't call in a prayer request or encouragement and a holiday greeting in the same call. And just call in one holiday greeting call so we can stitch them all together. Other than that, very much looking forward to it. I look forward to it all year. That's one of my favorite parts of the holiday season, actually, is the Daily Audio Bible Christmas party. And so looking forward to it deeply on this 20th anniversary. So make sure you participate as well. It's Christmas time, obviously, and so the Daily Audio Bible Christmas box, the family Christmas box, is available. This year, it is full of, goodness. The Daily Audio Bible Christmas Blend. It is only available this time of year. A meticulously designed chocolate hazelnut coffee that is a part of our story and a part of our history. And this year we also have the 20th anniversary reserve Southern Pecan. So two bags of really, really high quality, delicious coffees for the season are in there. The annual Christmas ornament with the word of the year, which has been safe. And this is a 20th anniversary ornament. It's in the box. We have created a commemorative box and coin and numbered card with the Daily Eddie Bible mission to bring the spoken word of God read fresh every day and offered freely to anyone who will listen anytime, anywhere, and to build community around this rhythm so that nobody ever has to go through it and be alone in it. And so this is a part of the 20th anniversary history, and so we've included in the Christmas box this year this memorabilia, this commemorative of something that is really remarkable, because Daily Audio Bible is the longest running daily podcast in history. That just blows my mind. But I'm grateful that it is the Word of God that has that achievement. And so this is a piece of that history included in the Christmas box this year. We have a wristband with the Word of the Year for next year in there. We have a little letter from Jill and I, and we signed all of those and want you to have that and read that. Yeah, just check it out. You can find out everything that's in the Christmas box in the Christmas... in the Christmas box at dailyaudiobible.com in the shop. Or if you use the app, just press the drawer icon in the upper left-hand corner and you'll find the shop there. And so you can see everything that I'm talking about with your own eyes and grab yourself a box or grab yourself some boxes and give them away. They make really wonderful gifts. The Breathing Prayer Book, which has been so popular this year, that is back in stock. Those are available. They're flying, so they're available now. But if you wanted to grab some of those for Christmas, they also make great Christmas gifts. Yeah, check it out. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you, because there would be no Global Campfire. There would be this really big round thing with a lot of ashes in it where a campfire once burned. But this has been ongoing and burning for 20 years. And so thank you deeply, humbly, with gratitude for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you are using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement or holiday greeting, you can hit the hotline button in the app, the little red button up at the top, or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that is it for today. I am Brian. I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hey, this is Heather of Pikes Peak, Roya, Texas. And I just got done listening to the Campfire Stories. And I have to say, beautiful job, Brian and Jill, for streamlining this and putting it all on there. 8 hours, but it was so worth it. So many new people called, and so many people that have been listening to DAB that's never called in. That was just, that was amazing to hear all of your stories. Each one is so special and meaningful. And I know God just is so happy with this podcast. That's why it's so successful. And it's truly because of God. It's all God. It's not anything that we do. It's all God. And so I just, it just makes my heart happy to hear everybody calling in. And now everybody was calling in their Christmas greetings, and I love listening to that. And I used to not listen to the daily prayers, and it was about 2023, and God was like, why are you not doing that? You know, kind of selfish with your time. So I started listening, and now I do DAB, DABC, Proverbs, and Psalms every single day, and it starts my day out right. Like, I just can't, my mornings are not my mornings if I don't start it with DAB. So thank you. And I give also, I have it set up as a recurring gift, and I also tithe at my church. So I am just so thankful that the Lord has blessed me and my household. So thank you so much. I love each and every one of y'all. I hope everyone had a beautiful holiday.
This is Redeemed in Southern Illinois. Wanted to call in a prayer for Joyful in Virginia. Thinking of you and your sister and your mom. Excuse me, and all that you have going on, and you're in back in school, and I hope that's going well. Pray that your sister is getting better, that the facility where she's at, the hospital, will know how to deal with her situation, and that she'll get the right treatment, not necessarily medication, but therapists or whatever it requires. We're just lifting her up, and you too. And hope you had a good Thanksgiving. Love you, DAB family. Bye-bye.
Hi, it's Heather in Tennessee. I have a cold this week, so my voice is cold-like. I want to lift up Jackie in California, Northern California. I'm praying for you. I'm just listening to the end of October 18th, so I'm not sure if you're still trying to decide where to move to, or if your daughter has had a change of heart. My mom still lives in California, and she unfortunately has dementia, and it's very, very difficult, and I'm praying for you that you will find a place. Even if it's in the same house as your daughter, I pray for that situation. It's sometimes better to live with family, even through all the difficult times. Just know that I'm praying for you. All right, have a good day. Bye.
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Jacqueline from Montana, blessed in the Bitterroot. Today is Thursday, December 4th. Yesterday, we went and delivered Christmas gift bags to the veterans at the VA hospital in Helena. And today, I just want to lift up all of our veterans and military members and their families, Lord. Christmas time is a hard time for lots of people, and so I just want to lift them all up to you, Lord, in prayer, and ask for them to have a good holiday season and focus on you, Lord, if they don't know you, and just learn you and learn to love you. And you solve all issues, and I know you have saved me many times over through my whole life. I love you, Lord, and I praise you, and I thank you. I hope everybody has a wonderful day, and talk to you all soon. I love you. This is Jacqueline from Montana, blessed in the Bitterroot.